Good morning. As Roy has said, we have a very special day today as we celebrate our 15 high school seniors. And I would just like to take a moment. This is a little bit unusual. I'd like to ask our 15 graduating seniors to stand at the risk of embarrassing you because some may not be right here in the group. Go ahead, guys. Y'all are bold leaders. All right. Am I missing anyone? All right. Thank you very much. We're going to have a very special luncheon and presentation. We appreciate Bill and Jared and all those working with them and all of you who prepared food. One thing you have to look forward to is one fantastic meal today. A lot of other events. Our services today, baccalaureate service tonight at 7 in Lloyd Auditorium for the first time. And then for many years, commencement has been in Lloyd tomorrow evening at 7. High school graduation is one of the significant dates in your life that you never forget. For instance, you don't forget when you're baptized into Christ. You don't forget when you are graduating from high school. Oh, I can remember so well, Friday night, May the 10th, 19, well, never mind about that. I'll never forget it. It was one fabulous evening, and I'm sure you had the same experience, and I want us to think about our seniors today. By the way, the term senior sometimes get confused here. Someone said something a day or two ago about we are celebrating our seniors on Sunday, and someone made the observation, I think this was Wednesday night, didn't we just do that, talking about the senior rally? And so today it's high school seniors, and we do celebrate you and your families. What a tremendous accomplishment, even as we congratulate members of our Henderson Church family who graduated yesterday from the university. We're very proud of all of you. I want us to think about this passage in terms of three views that the Apostle Paul is referring to, and if I may take a little bit of liberty with the first one, the idea of our seniors looking backward. I know that Paul says, this one thing I do, forgetting the things which are behind and looking forward or reaching forward to the things that are to come. And yet, in the context of the passage, you understand why that he says that. There are other passages where Paul emphasizes the importance of memory, the importance of remembering. He certainly does that even in this passage. He goes back in verses, really beginning with verse 4 all the way through verse 9, talking about what he had been before he became a Christian, before the Lord appeared to him on that road to Damascus and revealed to him the truth of who Jesus is and of what he is to do with his life and what his life has been doing ever since. And so he says, if I want to look back on the past and glory in it, I can do that, but I'm not going to do that. However, there is a value in our remembering, especially on an occasion like this, looking backward, even as we're celebrating what has been accomplished in the past. Paul is really saying, don't live in the past, don't rest on your accomplishments. But I'm sure our seniors today, and this is what they're being encouraged to do a lot, is to remembering the tremendous blessings that they have had to enjoy in these first 17, 18 years of life. For one thing, to be able to be born into the family that you are, to be able to live in the community that you do, to be able to be in the state and part of the USA that we are is a tremendous blessing. But in comparison to all the nations of the earth, all of which have their blessings and their gifts to humanity, obviously we continue to live in the most blessed of nations. And so there are many things that we look back upon and we say thanks, even as we continue to do in the present. But I wonder today if you have really gone to the point of expressing thanks. Expressing thanks to parents who have done everything for you up until this present moment of time that they could. If you have thought of teachers, if you have thought of coaches, if you have thought of counselors, you've even thought of your peers, those who've gone through this experience with you, and said thanks for all the blessings and being grateful for all the blessings that you have received. And then there are the achievements Chester County Independent is filled every week with the achievements of our students. And the very special issue this week that gives attention to achievements as well as to the plans for the future of this graduating class, it is indeed impressive. And we are so blessed in our youth group and our church family to have those, all of you, who have achieved so much, and we're so proud of you for that. And so you're to rejoice in that. The point that needs to be made here, as Paul says, I press on, the point to remember here is that is a good start. What we have achieved so far, what we have accomplished so far, is a good foundation for what is next, for what is coming up next. And then also as we look back upon our past, there may be something that even yet needs to be confessed. There needs to be repented of. There needs to be restoration from. I wonder today, as we all examine ourselves, looking into our past, which is a value for us to do whenever we come together for worship and really as we live the Christian life every day, is there someone that I have wronged for which I have not addressed? If I just left that there, I will tell you from the experience of those who are older, if you are in that situation, if you've done that, you'll regret that for every year that is to come until you take care of it. And this is one reason why that the Lord wants us to live in the present, even as we anticipate the future, and not dwelling upon the past, but if there are things in the past that need to be repented of, this is why that every lesson concludes with an invitation song. And before the invitation song, the encouragement to bring your sins to the Savior. So I would encourage today, especially our youth, if there's someone that has been wrong, if there is a relationship that is not right, if there is something against the Lord for which you are guilty, and this, of course, is for all of us, there is no better time than for us to take care of this than now. And so, yes, as we look backward, we are grateful, we rejoice, and we seek forgiveness, and that is the very best way to deal with one's past, not just for our youth, but for each one of us. Then we can move on, and we can then live the kind of life that Paul emphasizes in the rest of this passage. Next, he talks about looking forward, and this is really the emphasis upon I press on. Paul could have talked much more than he does, and the only reason that Paul ever brings up accomplishments of his past or even accomplishments of his present is because he's pressed to it by critics, by those who question him and those who criticize him, and for those who say that he's not qualified to be an apostle of the Lord and all of these kinds of things. And when he says things about himself, he does so for that reason. But I want to take the principle of looking forward. That's what we're doing today. We look forward even as we continue our preparation for the future. Every generation must be better prepared than the generation before it. That has always been true. Joan and I were reminded of that when one time, not necessarily the first time, but one time we were at the AT&T store in Jackson, and we had our cell phones, and we were accustomed to working with cell phones, and that was no problem. But Joan had an issue with moving photos that are very dear to her and dear to us and moving them to a new phone altogether, an upgrade of a phone. And this young man did not even try to explain it to her. He said, "Do you have a young person at your home?" And so you see, the generations that are coming along behind us must be better prepared and generally are better prepared. Now, that doesn't mean that they're not to take advantage of the experience and the wisdom of the generations ahead. This is one thing wonderful about a church family. We have from cradle roll all the way to our senior saints, and we need every one of us. So there are times where we go to a certain person for wisdom, for advice, for counsel, and then we go to those who are not necessarily experienced in living a life yet, but who maybe have more technical skills and whose education has included things that ours has not. Are you planning to continue your preparation for the future in college? If so, good choice. If at Fried Hardeman, the very best choice. Okay? But that is a wise choice because we must continue to prepare for what is to come. We need to anticipate the challenges that lie ahead because life is not easy. There are days where you may feel like that the Lord has blessed you with absolutely the most wonderful experience that you could possibly have. And we all have had those days, but they are the days of unexpected interventions, unexpected interruptions. I think about this group of 15, and I don't know the number, but I just know that it's real, and I know that it's typical. I would ask them, how many of your friends have you already lost to either illness or accidents? All of us, of course, unless the Lord comes first, must die. We must pass from this earth. We anticipate that being for those who are older, but it's certainly true, possibly, of younger. And so we need to anticipate being a part of our preparation, the uncertainties as well as the certainties. For instance, if you're going to go to college, there are going to be a lot of exams and projects and things like that to do. And there are going to be a lot of sleepless nights and there are going to be a lot of anxiety in addition to all the great fun and opportunities of meeting new people and relationships and life being changed forever. But there are going to be the uncertainties. And that's true all the way through life. We need to anticipate those and to prepare for them. We need to be excited about the opportunities that are awaiting you. As I look at this group over here, they have no idea. They have no idea of the opportunities that are awaiting them. They have no idea of what the Lord has in store for them, what the Lord has in mind for them. I remember that day of coming down White Avenue. I think about this from time to time as I come down White Avenue every day. And I pass this building, and I think about the very first time that I saw this building. I had no idea that I would ever have the opportunity to be beyond a student member, but to be a member of this church family, to have the opportunity to work with this church family. This now the second time. No idea about all of that. And there are so many other things that could be listed in your life. But look forward to opportunities that you have no idea. The Lord may have in mind for you to be a Jonathan and Jennifer and to go into China and places like that carrying the word. And the group that is taking the word, taking the Lord, taking all of us with them to New Zealand tomorrow, those things were not thought of or dreamed of much time ago. And so as we prepare ourselves, we look forward and anticipate with confidence and with optimism. Later on in this little letter of Philippians, remember and underline always, chapter 4, verse 13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And that includes enduring those unfortunate uncertainties that may come along, but also the blessings and the achievements that God is going to bless your life with as well. But the most important thing that Paul talks about here is looking upward. When he talks about, I press on toward the call, he says it is an upward call, the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Once again, we say that the most important thing about us is what is within us. What is outside is important. Good health, obviously, is important. Appearance is important. But the most important thing about us is what is inside of us. And that is an ever-dying soul. And we are not prepared for today, much less an uncertain future, if we are not in the Lord. And we are in the Lord once we repent of our sins and we confess our faith in Him. when we are baptized for the forgiveness of sins, and we're added by the Lord himself to his church, his bride, his body. As I think about the excitement that all of us feel for you, when we see presentations later on in the luncheon today about your life to this point, the celebration for tonight and tomorrow evening, all of that, as we think about all of that, we encourage you to be strong in your faith, strong in your conviction. Know what it is that you believe and why. I don't say that to the senior class alone. I say that to each of us. What is it that we believe, and why do we believe what we believe? It is an ongoing process. Paul is talking here about spiritual maturity. He talks about perfection in the context of this passage. He's not talking about moral perfection. That's not possible. He's talking about growing spiritually to a point of growth and development, to being a full-grown man and woman in Christ Jesus spiritually. Well, that's a lifelong process. But we must take that first step, and we must be faithful to that step. Be the kind of person, as you graduate from high school and as the rest of us live our lives, where people who know you best know what you stand for and what you will not stand for. Do not compromise what you know to be true and right. I wish that we could say that we have never done that. I'm talking about for all of us who are already graduates. I wish that we could say that we have never compromised what we know to be true and right. But let that be the exception rather than the rule. Just like the entrance of any sinful activity that may be momentarily in a person's life, rid yourself of that as quickly as possible and return to your roots of faith and faithfulness. You have been taught well. Have you noticed, I'm sure, in stories that you have been taught in literature, as well as stories that are eventually converted to perhaps a TV show or series or to a full-length film, a movie, have you noticed that the bad guys do not win? They do not win. There is going to be a hero, or there is going to be a heroine who represents what is true and what is right, who is going to win in practically every human story. That is especially true, of course, in God's story. But be true to what you have been taught. You've been taught well. And then love the Lord and love people. You love the Lord with all of your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and you love people because you recognize their inherent worth, their value, as someone who's been made in the image of God like you are, and someone for whom Jesus has died like you. Then you're going to have a great relationship as far as the Lord is concerned. Your life is going to be full. You're going to be tired a lot. In fact, you'll be worn out a lot. But I want to encourage you especially to always remember, wherever you go to school and wherever you work someday, that the first thing that you do is that you find where the local congregation is that you're going to become a member of. That you're going to be faithful to the Lord and faithful to his church. Do you realize there are statistics that show in a graduation class of this particular size, studies can already predict the percentage of a group like this who will leave the Lord perhaps within the next year. I pray that's not the case for any of our youth. I pray it's not the case for any of our youth anywhere. But unfortunately, the statistics are out there. And so our encouragement is that you remain faithful first and foremost to the Lord and to his church for which he died. I remember a story of a conversation between an older man in the church and a younger man who had all the promise in the world, been a leader of every kind in his school, in his community activities, in the youth group, and he was just filled with promise. And this older gentleman in the church took him aside at the time of his graduation from high school. And he called him by name and says, "What are you planning to do?" He says, "Well, right after graduation, this fall, I'm going to go to college, and I'm going to spend 4 years there, and I'm going to get my degree." And the older man asked, "What then?" He says, "Well, I will get my first job. I will hope to have been married about that time, and in time there will be children coming along, and I anticipate in the course of my career that I will make my fortune." And the gentleman asked, "What then?" He says, "Well, I will work until retirement time, and then when retirement time comes, I will retire from my work." And again the question, "What then?" And the young man had not thought about this very much. In fact, he didn't want to think about it. You don't want to think about it either. But he kind of shrugged his shoulders at that "what then" and said, "Well, I suppose someday I will die." And the older gentleman said, "What then?" That is the most important consideration for us to make, including every one of us in the room. What is your answer to the "what then"? In that book of tremendous wisdom of 3,000 years ago, the Holy Spirit, through the wise man Solomon, who was not always wise in and of himself, made the statement of Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 1, "Remember now your Creator in the days of your youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw near, when you will say, I have no joy, I have no delight in them." There is joy and delight in remembering God as our Creator, as our Father, who has provided for our salvation. The upward call of God in Christ Jesus is the prize for which we press on, forgetting what is behind, reaching forward to that which is before. Promises for all of us. Are you ready to accept it and receive it? While we stand and while we sing.